On this episode of Course Agility, which I'm going to be entitling Crazy Times, I'll be talking about the podcast, a little bit about myself, and a little bit about some NADAC news. I'm going to start first with the podcast. The podcast, I'm all the roles of, a podcast. I'm obviously the person who does interviews. I'm the person who does the comments if I'm doing a commentary like this. And the producer role, I've really fallen off on. I have not been getting in touch with people to try to get guests this year in 2022. So the only guest I've had so far is Marcy Matties, which I really enjoyed. I really enjoy having guests. I just have fallen badly off the task of getting in touch and asking people if they want to be a guest, and then, hopefully getting yeses. And anyway, have not been doing that well lately. So I don't want to apologize. It's just the fact that I've not been doing it, so haven't had guests. I do want to get back to finding and getting guests on the podcast, and I hope to do that later this year. So, in regards to the podcast, and the fact that I've been very sporadic in the scheduling, the best thing you can do if you want to continue to hear me and hear the podcast when I do have a guest is to follow the podcast. So subscribe to it. I don't know all the different methods on all the different things. I know on Apple Podcasts, you just usually follow it. I think you follow on Spotify. I'm not 100% sure. But whatever you do so that when I release a podcast, it comes to you. You should do that. And then you'll know about the podcast. Often I post a link on the NADAC forum when I have a guest. I don't post links for other episodes, but I usually post a link on the NADAC forum. But not that many people are on NADAC forum. And you can always go to offcourseagility.com and just check it occasionally and see what the latest episode is, which because offcourseagility.com will take you to the anchor site that hosts my podcast, and you'll see the most recent podcast highlighted. So if you want to stay informed with what's happening on the podcast and get the latest episodes when I do get back to having guests, please follow me. Please follow the podcast, and I thank you. I thank all my listeners as always. Just a note on that too. The last podcast I released, which was the Memories of Nadia, I didn't put. I've been trying this year to put, and last year too, I was putting the season, like season three episode. I think it would have been episode three on the Memories of Nadia. I didn't put it on there. I don't like to go back and change stuff because I don't know if that then generates a podcast back to you because I modified it. I don't want that to happen. So I did notice I goofed up on the title of the last podcast. I'll try to get this one correct, which I think will be season three, episode four. All right, so that's for the podcast. Now a little bit about me. I think if you've been listening to this podcast over the 3 years I've been doing it, when I first started, COVID wasn't a thing. Then, of course, shortly after I started the podcast, COVID reared its ugly head, and really the doing and interviewing guests was really a lot of fun because I wasn't doing any agility in 2020. So it was a way for me to kind of maintain and be in touch with agility and the people, some of the people I knew and some of the people I didn't. All through the last few years, I would say I've always been more of a cautious person in regards to COVID. I tend to wear a mask. Like, I almost always put my mask on when I go to the drugstore because I always just thought if you're going to encounter somebody who might be sick in the drugstore is likely a good place. So that's one place I almost always have worn the mask. I've often worn it at BJ's in places, even though those are warehouses and you're not always right on top of people. Still, you know, I've, you know, up until recently, I'd probably up until this year, I tended to wear my mask. Kind of stopped in 2022 because, hey, you know, seems like, you know, everybody's getting tired of it. Even I'm getting tired of it. And, you know, the belief is COVID is not as bad. more on that later. anyway, in regards to my job, I've mentioned it a few times. I am a computer programmer. In 2021, the team that I work on, we were honored with an award. The segment of the company that I am in, teams get nominated for awards. I think there's maybe like 10 teams that get nominated, somewhere around that, for different things that they've done for the company. You know, products, you know, bringing in money, you know, what things that companies do. Anyway, my team was one of the teams that was nominated for this process. Those teams get narrowed down to four. And my team that I'm on was one of these four that was selected as like the finalists. And then there's one team that's like the grand prize winner. But the four teams that are the finalists, you could say, they get invited to an event. So there was an event that was originally scheduled for December of 2021 in New York City. And it was going to be at the Bar 65, which is like a room on the side of the Rainbow Room, which is on the top of the Rock in New York City. So, you know, this was going to be a pretty nice private event. But if you know, in December, and especially in New York, there was a COVID wave going on. And it was kind of strange that they scheduled the event because even the company had not opened up travel, per se. So some people were going to have to fly into this event. And it just didn't, right from the get-go, it didn't make sense to me. But I did go out and buy a suit, so I'd be ready to go to this event if it happened. Actually, I didn't get in the suit in time for the event. But the event was canceled. I pretty much knew. Everyone on the team knew that this was going to get canceled. There's no way. Even though New York City in December is a nice place to go, especially around Rockefeller Center, because you get to see the Christmas tree. It's always been one of the fun things in years where I have made it into the city in the past to see the Christmas tree. I've always enjoyed it. Anyway, it was canceled. They postponed it to January. And I'm like, I don't really want to go to New York City in January. And, you know, the COVID wave, the Omicron wave was still raging pretty good in January. So, of course, they postponed it again. So, it got rescheduled for the end of April. All right. And, you know, the company has kind of opened up travel. And they've kind of started to encourage us to return to the office. And in April, I had before this event, I'd gone into the office maybe like four times, but people aren't coming back to the office. So like the first time I went back to the office, I was the only one in the office. The next time I went to the office, I think I was there with one other person. And, you know, that's a pretty big office. Like at least 100 people are on the side of the floor where I work. You know, it's the way it is. People aren't really coming back into the office if it's not actually required yet. So, and then I think the third or fourth time, there were two times I was there and there was somebody else with me. So two different people. So the first time I saw one person, next time I saw somebody else. Anyway, So then for this event in New York City, I was going to be going in, one of my coworkers who lives a few towns over from me. She had arranged to get a car service. So we would all go into, because the event was like, you know, at night. So we were going to meet in the afternoon and then take the car service in so that we would be in New York City for the 6 o'clock start of this event at Bar 65 in New York City. Being cautious as I have been through the pandemic, I decided that I should take a home test, which I did. And actually, I'd taken one the week before because I'd never taken a home test. I just wanted to know how it worked. So I took one the week before. I was negative. I took one Tuesday around lunchtime before I had to go to my coworker's house. She was going to have some snacks, and there was going to be my coworker and two other coworkers. So there were four of us meeting at her house to take the car service into New York City, and then we were going to return. So I took a COVID test on around lunchtime on that Tuesday, the last Tuesday of April there, and I was negative. So, and I had confidence in that test since now it was the second time I took the test. First time, it was not a lot of fun sticking the thing up your nostril and stuff. And the first time I did it, I wasn't so sure in the confidence of the negative test because I'd never done it. And when I stuck a lot of details here, I started sneezing really bad when I put the swab up my nostril. So at least I knew this was going to happen on the second attempt on the next week. And I was able to handle it much better and still, you know, swirl on up, you know, be sure I get the swab around the inside of my nostril. And then you move to the other nostril and then you put it in the fluid and you wait however long, because these tests vary a bit depending on the brand. So I knew I was good on Tuesday. So I go to New York City. I'm telling you, the views from New York City on top of the Rockefeller Center, very nice. The colors of the Empire State Building, all the lights of New York City, enjoyed just the view. I enjoyed it. It was tremendous. The food, all the drink, delicious. Everything was great. The award ceremony, it was, you know, a company award ceremony. It was fine. But at the ceremony, and I'm not naming company names or anything here, but one of the executives had mentioned how nice it is that everything's opening up again. You know, COVID seems to be receding and everything's opening up. And he says how nice it was, you know, to be able to fly to New York City without having to put a mask on and all that. All right. So I go home, you know, we take the car service home, and then I go to work remotely from my house on Wednesday and Thursday. Friday, going to a trial, the last weekend of the month of April, that first day of May, I'm going to a trial. Not going to mention the trial, but a lot of my listeners I know were at this trial, so there's going to be quite a few of you who know exactly what trial I was at. But anyway, when you do go to a trial these days, still a lot of them require a COVID waiver, and so did this one. So the COVID waiver says, you know, you may be exposed and this and that, and, you know, you can't really do anything, right? So I drove up, my sister and I were going, took our camper, pop-up camper. We drove up Friday night. I'm fine, feeling fine. Saturday morning, I woke up overnight. I sort of had a little drip, a little post-nasal drip, little sniffles. And I was thinking, it's April, it's May. I usually have a tree pollen reaction in the spring, usually. I'm not bad, but it's often I get it. So I'm thinking it's just allergies. I have allergies, right? So Saturday, you know, even though because my sister and I are cautious, we're not masking, but it's an outside trial. And, you know, I'm giving everybody a decent berth like I usually do in these days. And the The trial went okay. My dog was okay. Trace did okay. Although at the very last thing of the day, he peed in the ring, which did not excite me. And the judge kind of yelled at me because I didn't run up and try to stop him. But it was the end of the day and I was a little fried. And before that run, I had had an issue. This is all on me. It's all on me. My sister was somewhere else helping or something. Her dog Belle was in the camper. I'm trying to get out my dog out of the camper. Belle's not cooperating. She wants to come out of the camper too. So I have to like throw her back in the camper. So this made me late to get in the truck, get over to the ring. My bad. So I didn't let my dog have as much time to pee. My bad. These are all things you learn, but sometimes you make mistakes. And I made a mistake. And so my dog didn't really want to start, and he immediately pees like on the first hoop. It was horrible. Anyway, I obviously that was it for the day, and I felt bad. But it happened. So then Saturday night, overnight, like when I woke up on Sunday morning, I kind of had a slight cough. I'm like, I don't know. I wonder if something's going on. And I didn't feel feverish exactly, but I was like, it was a warm weekend, so outside, it was really nice, and then inside. But when I first woke up Sunday, I was a little chilly. But I guess a little chilly overnight, and I was like, yeah, I don't think I have a fever. Of course, this is another lesson I learned. You should always, when you go, in these crazy times, you should probably bring a thermometer with you and a COVID test. Lessons learned. Anyway, I did the trial, but I was aware that I wasn't sure if maybe something was going on. So I definitely on Sunday was trying to keep a wide berth from everyone. I didn't mask up, but I still didn't know anything strange. So my sister and I, at the end of the trial, we pack up the camper, we go home. My sister is sleeping in the same camper with me, and we're driving home in the truck together. So we get home, we unhitch the camper. I say, and the camper stays at my sister's house. So I say goodbye to her. I go home. I bring everything in at my house, and I go to bed. Monday morning, I wake up, and I am not feeling well at all. I feel horrible. I feel horrible. I take my temperature, and I do sign on to work. So, I hadn't taken. I don't think I'd taken my temperature yet. No, but I felt horrible. And I get on. I think I had a meeting that morning on Monday, so I was getting on to be on a meeting where I pretty much just had to listen. It was like a company-wide type meeting, so I was kind of listening, if I recall, and so I was chatting with another coworker, and they're chatting and saying things like implying something had happened at this event I was at, and I was like, "What are you guys talking about?" And they said, "Did you see the email from Saturday morning that was sent?" And I was like, "No." And I'd already told them that I was feeling horrible. It turned out on Saturday, unbeknownst to me, they had sent out an email saying that two people were that who were at this event in New York City on Tuesday had tested positive for COVID. Oh, how wonderful! So at that point, I took my temperature because I was feverish on Monday morning. I had a fever of 99.7, and I took a COVID at home test, which I was getting pretty good at because now this was the third time I took it. So the way that this, the brand I was using, waits, you put it up your nostrils, stick it in with this fluid, and you wait 15 minutes. And there's one line, which is the control line, and then there's the second line, which is the positive line. And you're supposed to wait 15 minutes, and you're not really supposed to read it until the 15 minutes is up. But After about 5 minutes, I could tell the second line was coming up, which I never saw a second line before. So I was like, oh, dang, I think I got COVID. And yeah, after 15 minutes, the line was beautifully pink or whatever color you want to call it. I had two beautiful pink lines. So I tested positive for COVID. I was not a happy camper. So I went to a nice company event, and I'm going to say I got COVID there. So unfortunately, I may have been positive at the trial, but I don't know. Of course, then, you know, first thing, I let my sister know. And thankfully, so far, and now it's like over 5 days since then, because I'm recording this on the weekend. My sister has taken, I think, at least two at-home tests, and she has been negative. So I'm very, very happy about that. And I will say this, I don't wish COVID on anyone. I know I've heard people say, oh, it's not bad at all. Well, for me, I felt horrible on Monday morning. I had a fever, I had a cough, I had sniffles, runny nose, whatever you want to call it. And then that fever stayed with me for a few days. I did get in touch. Obviously, I got in touch with my doctor on Monday right away, and I'm not going to go into details. Anybody who's ever seen me, I am an overweight white guy, and I'm not the youngest guy in the world, so my doctor did prescribe some treatment, which I received and took. So anyway, that's, you know, I'm not going into details there. But at this point now, and I'm like, you know, I guess I'm 5 days past the positive, I'm feeling better every day, thankfully, which makes me good. But I will admit, initially, I didn't have any odd tastes, but I was using some ketchup today, and the ketchup really tasted bad. The strange thing is, I remember earlier in my life, maybe I had the flu or something. I've remembered this happening to me before, where I didn't really like the taste of ketchup, and then it would return back to normal where I liked it. I can live without ketchup, but right now I'm not using ketchup because I don't like the taste of it. I don't even know how to describe it, but it doesn't have a pleasant taste. It's almost like it's very vinegary. I know there might be a little vinegar in ketchup, but anyway, it's the only thing I've noticed taste-wise. It's a bit odd for me. But other than that, I'm feeling better every day. So I'm happy about that. I'm definitely happy. And I've learned more about the CDC guidelines and things like that than I ever wanted to know, because now, you know, they have a nice calculator about the CDC quarantine. So I was, based on, you know, the rules of that, I was supposed to stay quarantined for 5 days, which I tested positive Monday. So that was through, you know, that week. And then for the next 5 days, you know, provided you're getting better, you're supposed to mask for the next 5 days. So I'm in that period, and I probably will extend my mask period a bit when I'm really around people, because, you know, I know I had COVID. I was like, well, will I test negative? And I read an article about, you know, COVID tests, and I probably won't test negative for a little while. I probably will take one again just to see if it's still as positive as it was, but just because I'm curious and I'm used to taking them now. But it could very well show that I'm still positive, even though I'm feeling much better. So that's my tale of woe, and I tell it, not that I want to share everything, but just beware. COVID is still out there, and essentially I think I got it because I spent the night with a bunch of people having dinner and being unmasked for the whole night. And the good thing is my team, which I think there was maybe eight of us on my team, no one else on my team got it. No one else. So why was I the lucky one to get it? I don't know. Obviously, there were two other people at the event who had it or got it, but most likely if they, well, I don't know. It's hard to say. They tested positive earlier than me, so they were probably the people I may have gotten it from. But you don't know who you bumped into. But, you know, just beware, even at outdoor trials, you probably do want to give a wide berth to people who may have gone to New York City and you didn't know it. So, it's not like I went around telling everybody I went to New York City. But I could have gone to any restaurant. And really, and that's the thing too. I have not gone to restaurants. This is the first time I really had gone out and been unmasked in a type of environment like that. So maybe I just have bad luck. I don't know what to say. Anyway, I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back with a little bit of just a little bit of NADAC news, and then I will maybe just wrap this one up. And I'm back, and I'll have a little bit of NADAC info in a minute. I just wanted to I realized I didn't really say one thing about the event that I went to in New York City, because I didn't say my team didn't win. So I went to New York City. We all got, everybody that was at that event got a nice little trophy, but what's a trophy? In addition to the nice little trophy I got and the food and the drink, I got COVID. So I don't know if it was really worth it. Although being on the top of the rock in the bar 65 was a once in a lifetime opportunity. So, but still, the cost of getting COVID and being sick for a number of days and not feeling well for a number of days, not sure. If I'd known about it ahead of time, not sure I would have done it. Probably would have, though. I don't know. Hard to say. Anyway, one other thing before I get to the NADAC news that I have. As always, if you'd like to reach out to me, you can do so at offcourse@optimum.net. offcourse@optimum.net. That email address is, I always try to put it in the show notes, so it will be in the show notes of this too, this episode. And I'll get to the NADAC stuff. So I do go on the NADAC forum, and my sister follows NADAC through Facebook on some of the Facebook, channel or whatever. I'm not a Facebooker. I don't know what you call it on there. But so she gets some information. So sometimes she tells me something, and then I'll see if it's on the forum. One thing, I think this was first, I think Amanda posted it, and it's interesting because it's not on the NADAC website. Back in the beginning of the year when they had the top 10 for the year, this year, I clearly remember talking about it on the podcast, that it was just for regular trial queues. So the list of the 2021 top 10 was just for the normal queues, as it has always been in the past, I guess. So on the forum, they had announced that they now have a 2021 top 10 for VTs. So now those lists that are on the website, there's an associated list that's on a Google Doc. If you go to the forum, you'll find a topic from Amanda Nelson. And there's, top 10 by breed. And there's the top 10 by class. So if you're interested, if you're a person who's done, the videotaped cues, and you want to see how you did just against videotaped cues, you can check that Google Doc about that top 10. And it is, I didn't look at this in great detail, but I see a number of people on those lists that were also on the other lists. I remember that was the case last year too. But I don't know if they have any intent to put it on the website or not. There is this NADAC has this like double-edged thing. This is commentary for me, obviously, where the VT is kind of the same as a real trial queue, but then in some ways they treat it different, in some ways they don't. So it's just they have a little bit of an inconsistency there, I think. I mean, I understand why. Which will lead us into the second topic I have. So the other thing that NADAC has posted recently is this was Jimmy Steele. He posted it in the forums. So I think I'll just read it. Read what he posted. Starting June 1st, VT course load uploads. So the courses that they post every month, maybe I won't read it, maybe I'll paraphrase, will be going down to once a month. So I believe that's how it was pre-COVID, that every month there was a set of courses and they lasted for that month. But during most COVID, they've been doing an upload of new courses at the beginning of the month and then usually on the 15th. So starting June 1st, which has already happened, no one has it. We're in May. Whoops. starting next month in June, they will upload a set of courses, and those will be good for all of June until July, I guess. And what does he say after the courses? Anyway, I guess maybe in May they're still going to do two, I guess. So those will run through. So we're in a transition period. So the other thing is the small space courses will now be limited to 60 by 80. But there will be one a month. So he says we fully understand that 60 by 60 and smaller is the only thing available for a lot of people, but that small of a course is extremely hard to design with NADAC flow and open style limit. And we put them out to keep everyone playing with their dogs during the pandemic, but their time has run out, unfortunately. I kind of agree with that, even though, someday I do. I mean, I have no place to set a course. Even if someday later I had the opportunity, but 60 by 60, it's a large square. I've over the period of time, I occasionally look at the courses, and those 60 by 60 ones, it was a lot of just circling around. And the amount of courses and trying to be original with them, I think it's pretty dang difficult. And it goes along with what I was just saying. NADAC has this thing where a VTQ is supposedly a VTQ. I gotta ask, a VTQ for some classes on a 60 by 60, they're not the same as if you're at a trial and you got that queue on a 100 by 100. It's a longer course. The 60 by 60 is going to be shorter. Well, maybe it's more twisty and circular. Anyways, it's my opinion. I understand that 60 by 60 is not, it's not like an apple apples thing, So at 60 by 80, the 80 is kind of the minimum width that I think NADAC currently has. If you run a trial, you need at least 80 width. And then I think you can have 80 by 100. I think that would be a legitimate dimension to have a trial. I think they would allow that. But I know the recommended is always 100 by 100. But anyway, 60 by 80 is obviously pretty small too. And then the third thing on that, beyond that, all the other COVID pandemic rules will be staying in place until further notice. Now that we have revamped the awards list a little bit, all NADAC highest awards, it's just up to, and all, are only available at trial. Yeah, that I know, because you can only do gamblers at a trial and stuff. So that third point, I don't know, it just. It's not really in regard to that. So the important thing is, starting June 1st, VT courses will be going down to the once a month for the summer. And after championships, they're going to discuss going back to two uploads a month for the winter months. And they'll keep everyone updated on that decision. And after the course is good until, May 15th expire. There will not be another upload until June 1st. Right. Okay. Yeah, I guess so. That makes sense. So, yeah. So, and then I guess the next one after June 1st would be July 1st, I believe, if I'm understanding that right, for the summer months. And you know, I understand that to have those courses. I mean, I understand sometimes they pull them just from trials and things, but the 60 by 80s, I think they're still got to be designing those to some extent for that small space. So that's still got to take them some effort. And I totally get it. And unfortunately, as I've said many times, I can't do any videotaped courses. It's not available to me. And in regard to the small space courses, I know over the years I've been, you know, occasional observer of people's VT runs. I sometimes watch some. It's cool to see other areas of the country and things. And I know that the small space courses, I don't know, you know, it's just human nature. I've seen people running the small space course on a big space. So, you know, it's an easier course to set. So they set it, even though they have the 100 by 100 or a larger space, they just set the 60 by 60 or the 60 by 80. And often I see it with tunnelers because a lot of times the tunnelers for the small space, you don't need as many tunnels. Totally get that. Makes sense. But once again, you know, the intent of the small space was really to allow people with a smaller space to use them and not use the small space. That's just my opinion. Anyway, that is gonna do it for this one, I think. Hopefully, in the next podcast, I know my voice is a little off from COVID. Hopefully, I sound a little more normal on the next one. But I'm glad I was able to let everybody know about me. And sorry if I was positive at a trial, but that's just the way it is in these crazy times. You do not know. Just my final remember: you go to a trial, indoor or outdoor. You don't know where the people have been, where they went, what they might have been exposed to, and what the time frame of that exposure was. So for me, just FYI, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I can't be positive. When I went to New York City, it was pretty much, you know, I may have been starting to get symptoms 4 or 5 days later, and then I definitely had it 6 days later. I was definitely under feeling the effect of the COVID. So just beware. All that weird stuff about COVID comes out, and even though everybody wants to say the pandemic's over, we're in an endemic. Well, yeah, it's endemic because COVID's still out there everywhere. I guess I don't know if I'll go back to being cautious, more cautious or not. And I guess eventually, you know, maybe I'll go get another booster. But for now, I think I've been naturally boosted, so I'm probably good for a little while. And I know a lot of people have gotten COVID. You know, I read something else, but then I heard that that study wasn't necessarily definitive. That, like, you know, it might be as many as 50% of the country has, they say, 50 to 60% have the antibodies showing for COVID. But that was a weird study because it might have been based on antibodies of people having vaccines, and then it might have been from people actually being exposed. So I don't know. I mean, I certainly know other. I mean, I was triple vaxxed. I had my third booster in December. So it's not like I didn't try to take protection. And I'm sure the protection has helped me from being seriously ill. And I know other people who have got COVID too, and they had gotten vaccines. So the vaccine, it protects you from serious disease, which is great. But it does not necessarily protect you from becoming infected. And I am living proof of that. So, with that, if you're going to a trial, and I say this, and this podcast will be released before it, I may be at my next trial. If I see you there, I'll most likely be masked. Might take it off to run, but I'll probably stay masked for that trial. So if you're going to a trial or if you are doing a videotaped run, I wish you happy trialing and be safe and stay healthy.